This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show number 129. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com, you can email us on coach@pitchvision.com, and you can call us on 0208 816 7691. My name's David Hinchliffe. It's a very special show this week. We're handing the entire show over to an interview with South African international batsman and IPL superstar JP Duminy. And the reason that we're doing that is because JP has just launched his online coaching course on Pitch Vision Academy. It's called Hit the Ground Running, and it's split into two: a course on the classical shots and a course on some of the modern shots that he's helping to innovate and that gets him runs quickly in 2020 and at the death of 50 over cricket. So I spent 2 days in Cape Town filming with JP, talking to him about cricket, getting coaching advice from him, learning how he achieved such great success so quickly, success that culminated in 166 runs in his second test match against Australia and an IPL contract worth $950,000. So if anyone knows about making it to the top, it's JP Duminy. Now, this podcast is about 15 minutes long, and it contains some of the stuff that we talked about during our interview, and he goes into some details about the types of things that he does to become successful. And if you want more information on that, you can go to pitchvision.com/JP Duminy, or you can also go to pitchvision.com/cricket-coaching, but the real one you want to go to is pitchvision.com/JP Duminy, and then you'll get more details about the online coaching you can get directly from JP Duminy and the ways that you can learn how to become a successful cricketer just like he has become. We'll be back to the normal format of the show next week with your questions and answer sessions, but until then, we're in conversation with JP Duminy at Newlands in Cape Town on a bright, sunny, warm South African winter's day. Was the biggest step up when you got that international call up? What do you feel was the biggest change?
Well, I guess the difference was the amount of people that you play in front of. Generally, playing domestic cricket, it's not sort of broadcasted all over the world, and maybe the crowds are not as big. So that was a major sort of wake up call for me. My debut was against Sri Lanka, and obviously cricket is really big in that part of the world. So the support for their team was huge. And to play in front of that sort of crowd was very intimidating. I guess that was the biggest change. And just the fact that you know you're playing international cricket, that was also a weird feeling to experience. If I can describe how I felt like I was in a bubble and I didn't know how to get out of it. And at that point in time also, South African cricket or the South African cricket team wasn't doing too well. So it was hard coming into a team that wasn't really performing. So all in all, it was just, like I said, a major wake-up call. And I guess at that point in time also, I wasn't up to the standard, all-round standard of international level, and once I got a taste of it and left again, I eventually knew what was required to stay at that level, which was, I thought, was a good thing for my career. And touch wood, now it's going pretty well, and hopefully it can go from strength to strength.
And there's a noticeable difference in the quality between, say, domestic bowling and international bowling. What is that difference to you?
I totally agree. I guess the easiest way to put it is that you get less bad balls. And with the video footage that one has these days, you know, teams can sort of discover your weaknesses a lot, or your strengths and weaknesses very easily. I guess that's the biggest difference from international and domestic. But yeah, it's the mentality of it as well. You know, if you have a strong mind and a strong sense of belief, you'll definitely do well at international cricket.
Speaking of big crowds, what's the IPL like?
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed my 3 years being part of the IPL. I obviously started off at the Mumbai Indians, which was a great experience in the sense of playing with one of the best cricketers the world has ever seen. So that was something also that I'll always cherish in my career. But like you said, speaking about the crowds, I mean, playing in front of an Indian crowd is something totally different, something you'll never experience anywhere else in the world. But I guess it's always a good thing that if they're rooting for you rather than against you. You know, because at certain times in the game, it can sort of affect you. So I guess it was nice to experience it from an IPL point of view, because, you know, you're going to have the support of your home team or home crowd, which was great in terms of maybe playing against India. So that was great to experience it from both sides. But yeah, I think it's a great concept, a great game to play, 2020 cricket. Very exciting and very entertaining for the crowds.
What did you learn from the IPL that you can take to your other cricket?
I wouldn't say I learned anything in terms of from cricketing point of view. One thing I did enjoy is playing with different sort of cultured people. Obviously, you got your Indians, but you have guys from different countries as well playing together, building new friendships with guys that are you don't generally play with, and you know, IPL is a great way to give you that opportunity and to feed or learn about maybe certain things in your game that can help you from other guys or experienced guys from other countries. And that's probably the main thing that I've taken out of the IPL. Like I said, I had the privilege of playing with the likes of Sachin Tendulkar, Jai Surya, and to feed off those guys was great. It was really good.
Would you say it was more little technical things, or is it more to do with, you know, Sachin saying to you, well, look, this is how I deal with such and such a situation?
No, I wouldn't say it was too much of a technical side. I think my main objective, you know, playing with someone like him was just to understand how he goes about life in general, you know, how he did certain things in certain points of his career. Like, for instance, a slump that he went through. How did he deal with it, you know? And maybe people that he's spoken to say how they dealt with it, that helped him. I think that was the main sort of thing that I wanted to get out of it, and I certainly did that. I mean, there's no rocket science behind that question. Everybody seems to have the same sort of answers. I had the privilege of speaking to Brian Lara as well. He sort of said the same thing. You know, it's just about backing yourself and when you're going through slumps, knowing that it's going to change and just working harder. So everybody says the same thing, and once you realize that, you know, there's no miracle towards it. You know, you sort of overcome that fear and understand what it's about.
So what, in your opinion, is the reason that players like yourself reach the top so quickly, whereas others don't quite make the grade? It's a $1 million question, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess I can only really talk from a personal point of view. I guess the first thing, you have to be talented in your field. But with that comes a lot of hard work and sacrifice. You know, growing up where I did, there was a lot of guys that did different things, not only in sports, but, you know, there are different paths that one could have taken. But my mind was set on doing playing cricket, and, you know, driven towards that. And once your friends or whoever it was went different places, you had to make that sacrifice not to go with, and, you know, stick to what your goals are. I guess that was the difference for me. Just working hard and lots of sacrifice.
Let's talk a little bit about training. Let's link working hard together with the IPL. Does what you do day to day in training change much when you're playing at domestic level, or when you're playing in the IPL, or when you're playing at international level?
Not really. I guess the way you go or structure your practice maybe changes a bit in terms of what game you're playing. So if it's test cricket, you'll maybe practice a certain way, or one day is, or 2020. That's pretty much how I see it. I can't see why practice should be different for different teams. You know, if you have something that works for you, rather stick to it than try to change it. You know, it's a different thing if you maybe think something's not working out, then you can change certain things. And, you know, I guess it's also about finding out how different guys worked, or what worked for different guys. And also understanding what the coach wants out of you. But, you know, the coaches that I've worked with in the past normally sort of leave it up to you as to know what you need to be successful in your game. And, you know, I've sort of taken that responsibility on through whichever team I've played now. So I guess it's just about understanding your game and what you need to do to perform.
So right now, what's a typical week like for you?
Well, at the moment, I'm training with the Cobras for Champions League. So pretty much every day, it's 9 to 12 in the morning, nets with them. And then directly afterwards, we either got gym or maybe a psychology session of some sorts. That's also something that I will encourage in my cricket career. It's the psychology of the game. Also understanding that from that side of the coin. That's something that has also helped me in many ways to get through certain stages in my career. So yeah, getting back to that point, that's pretty much my day. And then during the afternoon, whatever appearances or meetings that one has to do. So I'll get home at about 5 and, you know, eat dinner.
And as the year starts to unfold ahead, what are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, I think this cricket year that's coming up is a big one for South African cricket. We're playing against four big teams around the world. We've got Australia coming here, then Sri Lanka. We go to New Zealand and we tour England as well. So, you know, my main goals is just to be consistent as possibly I can. I'm not currently playing in the test side, so that'll be a goal of mine to get back into that team. I had a pretty good one-day season last season, so it's just about building on that and getting up in those ICC rankings. My goal was 6-7 years ago to be the number one batsman in the world, be it test cricket or one-day cricket, and that's still my goal today, and that's something that I'll always keep working towards.
What teams do you see as the main threat to South Africa in the next 12 months?
Look, Australia's always going to be a tough team to play against. But probably the team that I see would be England at the moment. You know, they're always a difficult bunch to play in England. Look, we've done pretty well in the past, you know, beating them in the Test Series last 3 years ago. But they're obviously a different outfit at the moment, and, you know, just currently being ranked number one in the world in Test cricket. So they're pretty much on a high. And like I said, it's always a difficult tour to go to. So that I see that as our biggest challenge. So I guess the key for us is, like I said, we've got Australia, Sri Lanka and New Zealand. If we can do pretty well against them and sort of gain confidence in those three series, you know, we'll give ourselves a good chance to perform well in the UK.
And how about the Champions League? Who do you see as the main threats there?
For me, I think the Champions League, you never quite know what to expect, to be honest. It's pretty much the best domestic teams around the world, and, you know, it's especially in 2020 cricket, it's about the performance on the day. But I guess your IPL teams, the Chennais and the Mumbais, are always going to be tough opposition in the Indian conditions. So yeah, look, we've got a pretty tight group. I think it's ourselves, New South Wales, Chennai, Mumbai. So it's going to be a tough opposition. But I definitely believe that we've got a team to go out there and win. We've got loads of experience with great youngsters coming through. So, like I said, it's just about performing on the day and doing the basics well, and hopefully the results go away.
If there was three bowlers who you would say you respected most in international cricket, who would they be?
My first one would be Andrew Flintoff. Yes, he doesn't play international cricket anymore, but, you know, of the experience I've had facing him, he was probably one of the tougher bowlers around. Milarithurin was also one. I didn't face too much of him, but what I did face, you know, it was pretty challenging. And the third one would probably be Jimmy Anderson. I mean, I've played quite a bit against him now, and most times, you know, it's been pretty challenging against him. You know, with him swinging the ball both ways. Especially in Test cricket, it's been tough going against him. So hopefully when we play against him again in a couple of months' time, I can get one up on him.
What is it that makes those bowlers such a challenge?
It's just their consistency in finding that sort of corridor of uncertainty. And like I said, with Jimmy Anderson swinging the ball both ways, Malathran, you know, being able to spin the ball both ways. And the challenge is always reading it, and you don't have too much time doing that. So I guess that was probably the biggest challenge against them.